you. Thank you. Man, he tells that story better than I do. Oh, boy. It was a hoot, I'll tell you. I love it when you just see something happen and that you just have to go, that's just supernatural. That's a God thing. And I love that because when God does things, he does it in such a way that nobody can step back and say, we did it. We were just blessed to be along for the ride, and we never stopped being amazed at what God was doing. And we just look at it and go, this is nuts. This is just crazy. And I remember, I'll throw this in real quick, but I remember when we were contemplating what we were going to do. We'd been meeting in a high school, and then the high school threw us out because we were having so many services every Sunday. Their janitors were having to work overtime, and it just wasn't a workable situation. So we had to do something. And Loveland's not a real big community, and the only thing that was available was an old warehouse down in the worst part of town. And I was just like, oh, well, I don't want to do this. And there was a brother in my church who, he was a doctor, and he drove all the way up from Denver to go to church there. It's just nuts. And I was complaining to him one day, I don't know what we're going to do. All we have is this warehouse as an option. He looked at me and he said, Pastor, I want to tell you something. He said, I don't care if you were going to go move into a cattle barn. If the presence of the Holy Spirit is here, the way it has been, you will fill it to the doors and you will fill it fast. Well, we filled it 5 times every week. And all we could say was, this is a miracle. This is what God has his blessing on. And it was there where your pastor and his wife, Donna, came on a weekend visiting, and I will never forget it. They sat during the entire worship and praise time, and they just wept and wept and wept. And it was in that service where God sowed the seed in their heart for what church should really be like. And now I come here, and I'm wiping tears out of my eyes because of the fact that what I see here is the same Spirit of God present in a worship service that we had back in the old warehouse days. It was amazing and wonderful. And I just, I had an amazing revelation. I'm just sure this is from God. I made a prediction on Friday night that tonight the Broncos were going to beat the Lions in the football game. My brother said that if it didn't happen, they were going to take me out the parking lot and stone me as a false prophet. But I'm just sure this is going to come to pass. I think when we get to heaven, God's going to let Pastor Leon lead worship and praise around the throne. Oh, boy. So this weekend, before I get into that, let me just quickly flash that slide up on the screen. My wife and I have just started a new ministry in March. It's a website, and the address there is truthwithjohn.com. And go ahead and get your cell phones out, your smartphones, and make yourself a note of that now. And then you can turn them off. Don't look at the website, okay? But you can make yourself a note, truthwithjohn.com. It's something that we felt God wanted us to do. It's a wonderful website that has access a portal to a newsletter that we do every month. There's a word of encouragement that we do. There are inspirational photos. That photo right there we took about a week ago now up in the high country in Colorado where we live. And we post those photos and put scriptures on them. And it's just a good thing. And the newsletter has a real prophetic slant to it with a lot of prophetic updates. And you might go home and look at it. And if you want to be on our mailing list, you can go on the site and send us your email address, and we'll put you on the mailing list every month. All you'll get is a reminder saying the new issue of the newsletter and the website just was published, and you'll get that within about 5 minutes of us actually posting it live online. So there it is, truthwithjohn.com. Take advantage of it. So this weekend we have been talking about the return of the Lord. Is anybody in this room excited about the return of Jesus? All right. The return of Jesus is not something that's supposed to take us by surprise. I want to just start off this morning by pointing that out. There are over 300 scriptures in the Old Testament that talked about the birth of Jesus, and all of them were fulfilled exactly, perfectly. But a lot of people don't know this. In the Old Testament alone, there are over 500 scriptures that talk about the return of Jesus, okay? And because of this, we can't set dates. Let me just tell you, anytime anybody tells you they've figured it out, they've got the date when Jesus is coming back, just please, please do yourself a favor, run. Don't get anywhere near that. It will not happen. And I'm like, I know why the return of Jesus has been delayed. All of these nutcases are putting out all these dates. And so he can't come back on any of those dates. If they'd stop doing that, there'd be a window in there a day or two where he could come back, okay? But you can count on one thing. Somebody gives a date, it won't be that day when he's coming back, all right? But it's very, very plain from Scripture that the Lord tells us that we're not supposed to be ignorant about this. We are supposed to know the season. And I like to use this illustration, this time of year. Everybody in Michigan, everybody in Colorado knows that it's going to snow before long. Not too long here. It's going to snow. But nobody knows what day, and I don't know if they do it here, but back in Colorado they have these contests of everybody's supposed to put their day when you're going to get the first measurable snowfall and all that, big contests on the radios and all that. But we don't know what day it's going to snow here in Midland. We don't know when you're going to start to suffer, you know. But you do know it's going to happen. Sooner or later. Hadn't the fall been wonderful and beautiful? I tell you, I'm taking full credit for that. God knew I needed it, and we didn't need bad weather here, so he just blessed us. But it's going to snow, but you don't know when. But you do know we're getting into the season when it's going to happen. See what I'm saying? And that's the way it is with the return of the Lord. He's coming back, and he tells us in the Word what we need to know in order to tell whether we are in the season of his return. And I'm not going to go into a lot of review. I don't have time to do that. But Friday night, we spent a lot of time talking about how we know whether or not we're in the season of his return. And I'll just tell you this, we're in the season of his return, okay? And if you're like, well, I'm not so sure about that, well, get the CD and listen to it. And I'm going to tell you something. Trust me, we are in the season of his return. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you about what Jesus had to say about his return. And I'll start by saying this. Jesus didn't teach a lot about his return. The thing that Jesus taught most about was the kingdom of God. That in your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the time. And the kingdom of God is likened unto. And you just hear that over and over and over. That's what Jesus taught on. And so he didn't teach a lot about his return. But if people asked him about his return and the end of the age and those kinds of things, not the end of the world, but the end of the age, Jesus then would go into considerable detail. And what he said... First of all, he said two things about his return that just stand out. The first one was this. It's going to be an event that happens suddenly. All right? Suddenly. And he used as an illustration, it'll come like a bolt of lightning. Now, again, I want to use the same kind of an analogy here. A bolt of lightning. Think about this. When the spring storms come, you see the clouds begin to gather, and they keep getting darker and darker and darker. And then you're just watching all this, and all of a sudden, bam, there's this bolt of lightning. It's just like, there it is. Well, you knew That's not surprising that the bolt of lightning hit. You knew, boy, it's going to start something here pretty quick. But you didn't know the exact moment. You didn't know exactly when it would happen. But you knew it's going to happen. Because why? The dark clouds are gathering. So Jesus used that illustration. He said it's going to be a very sudden event. It's going to be like a bolt of lightning that flashes out of the sky. And then the second thing he said, and that's where we're really going to camp this morning, he said, because of the suddenness of this event, you need to live ready for it to happen. You need to be ready, and you need to live ready. Let me read one verse here for you, Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. This is from the Good News Translation. He says, so then, you must always be ready. You must always be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you are not expecting him. He followed this in Matthew 25 with the story, the parable of the 10 virgins. Remember that? And I'm sure, Pastor, that you have preached on that parable because it's a very important portion of Scripture. And there's a wedding supper, and there's 10 virgins. 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. The 5 that are wise, they stored up extra oil. And the oil is speaks of the Holy Spirit, and the 5 foolish, they weren't careful to have extra oil. And when the shout went forth, the bridegroom cometh. Guess what? The 5 that hadn't been wise, that weren't wise, they didn't. Their lamps had gone out. That's a terrible thought. We're supposed to be burning brightly for the Lord. We're supposed to be filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And you need to ask yourself right now the question, am I burning brightly for the Lord? Am I filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit? And there are a number of ways that you can tell where you're at with that. I did something. I should never do this. I turned around and looked at y'all. During worship and praise, I'm like, I want to find out how many people in this room are filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, how can you tell by looking at me? Real simple. People who are filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit are worshipers and praisers. Now, they may differ in their outward expression, but there's something there that you can tell. They're not just standing there going, the world's going on around here. I don't know what this worship and praise is all about. Let me tell you, when you have the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you're in the presence of this kind of music and this kind of worship and praise and this environment, honey, there's something that happens. And I'm sorry if you're just one of these people, you just got nothing going on. I'm sorry to have to tell you, that's not right. Wow. It got quiet in this Pentecostal church. It's not right. It's not right. Don't fool yourself into believing, oh, I'm ready. My lamp is filled with oil. Honey, if your lamp is full of oil, your flame's going to be burning. Yes. Anybody can see the flame is burning. And so, you know, Jesus talked about that in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. Said, man, you need to be careful. You need to live careful to make sure that your vessel is full of oil and because you need to be ready. And then in Luke 17, he talks some more about his return. And he said, he likened it to 2 past events and gave examples of people who were not ready for what was coming, all right? The first one is found in the 26th verse of the 17th chapter of Luke, where he said, as it was in the days of Noah. And then 2 verses later in the 28th verse, he said, it will be, my return will be as it was in the days of Lot. Now, I want to just look at those two. At first glance, you know, they seem very, very similar. Noah, everybody perished because they weren't ready. And Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, everybody perished because of their wickedness and their sin. The only one that survived was Lot. And that was because of the prayers of his uncle, Abraham. And Abraham interceded on behalf of Lot. And his intercession couldn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah, but it did spare Lot and at least gave his family a chance to escape. So at first glance, it looks like these two are very, very similar, but really they're not. Let's first of all look at what happened during the flood with Noah. The people who perished during the time of Noah had ample opportunity to repent because they had ample warning that something was coming, right? How do you build a boat the size of this auditorium out in the middle of Kansas and nobody notices? Okay? It's not like people like Noah hid the boat. He worked on it for 40 years. And the people of his day did not have enough smarts to see the warning, to heed the warning, and to make preparation to escape. Are you listening to me? Now, I look at that and I see a parallel today that is frightening. Do you realize when it comes to this thing of the return of Jesus that there's nobody out there, including non-church people, who are ignorant about the fact that Jesus is coming back? I mean, we have movies that have been made about it. We have television programs that have been made about it. We have books, the Left Behind series that also was made into a movie. Well, I mean, folks, the word is out there. But the fact of the matter is, a wicked generation can have all of the information that says, Jesus is coming back and you better get ready. And they will look at that and they will scoff at it. Just like the people of Noah's day. They will mock it. They will scoff at it. And that is exactly what many have done today. I will never forget when I read in online where Bill Clinton said that anybody who believes in the literal return of Jesus is a part of a cult. Yeah. Anybody besides me remember reading that? Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, this is some serious, serious stuff. And so, I don't want to appear to be cold and hard, but I have nothing to say to those kind of people. Nothing. Because I'm convinced that nothing I would say is going to change them. Not only that, they're not here this morning. All right? They don't go to church. They're not interested in church. So I have nothing to say to those people. But when it comes to the people who are here, I believe that there's a greater lesson to be learned by looking at Lot's life and what happened with Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, because I personally believe that there's tremendous significance to that story, and it's rather completely different than the story of Noah and the flood. Let's just look at it for a moment. First of all, let's do a little background on Lot. Lot was Abram's nephew. And when Abram left the Ur of the Chaldees, Lot left with him because Lot's father, Abram's brother, had died. And Lot had inherited everything that his father owned. And so here was a relatively young man. Back in those days, people lived a lot longer than they do today. But here was a relatively young man who had been blessed with much possessions. And when you read the whole story, you find that he had cattle and he had servants and he had it all. You know, he had it all. You'd look at his life and you'd say, this guy, he lacks nothing. He is a young man who has been incredibly blessed. And it wasn't long, remember the story, how that Lot's servants and Abram's servants began to fight over the best places to graze the flocks and the best watering holes and all those kinds of things. And so they had a meeting. Abram and Lot had a meeting. And Abram said, listen, this is not working. And so you and I, we need to go our separate ways. I don't want to have strife here. Wise people know that strife is the worst thing anybody can live in. So he said, you tell me which way you want to go, what you want to have as yours. I'll go the opposite direction. And I'll just read to you from Genesis chapter 13, starting with verse 10. This is the New English translation. Lot looked up. He saw the whole region of the Jordan. He noticed that all of it was well watered. He chose for himself the whole region of the Jordan, and traveled toward the east. So the relatives separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, but Lot settled among the cities of the Jordan plain and pitched his tent next to Sodom. Now, how many have been with Pastor Joel to Israel? Raise your hand up. Wow, that's awesome. My goodness. I didn't expect that many. Usually you get maybe a fourth. There's at least a third of the people in this room that have been with you to Israel. How many have been with Pastor Joel to Israel and you just really regret that you went? How many went with Pastor Joel to Israel and got shot at? See, no hands. For those people out there who are sitting there going, I don't know, it's not safe. Look, I've been 26 times. No bullet holes. No, I won't show you. No scars. It's an amazing experience. And if you have been there, now you have an appreciation for what I just read. People who haven't been there just can't appreciate. Because when you're going down that Jordan Valley, yet even today, the Jordan Valley is a fertile place. There's water there. They irrigate the fields nowadays out of the Jordan River. And it's a very beautiful, fertile place. But if you look towards the west which is now the land, which was then the land of Canaan, and now is Israel. now the border is the Jordan River. Jordan is on the east. Israel is on the west. But if you look towards the west, it is some of the most desolate country. I mean, there are places there where there is not even a tree or a bush that grows. And Lot looked at that. He's like, I'm no dummy. Man, I can see where my flocks will have all kinds of grass. This is the decision to make. How many know, based on what we know Scripture tells us, it was not the decision to make? You know, do you ever do this? Have you ever read your Bible and said, you know what, someday when I get to heaven, I'm going to track this Bible character down right here. And I'm going to walk up and say, hey, I got some questions to ask you. And Lot's on the top of my list. Dude, what were you thinking? I mean, you made the most brain-dead decision that you could have possibly made. What were you thinking? I mean, didn't you think about your family? Didn't you think about your family's spiritual well-being? Now somebody's like, well, what's he talking about that for? That's just a Bible story. Listen, I said last Friday night, nearly 50 years. My wife corrected me. She said it's been over 50 years. And I have seen people make the dumbest decisions. Well, I have this promotion. And we were talking about this, I think, last night. Oh, I'm going to move to this city. Well, have you checked out the churches? Are there awesome churches that have awesome ministries for your children or for your teenager or whatever? Well, you know, I'm sure there'll be a church around there someplace. So then they move there. They buy a house there in some big metropolitan area. Next thing they find out is the only church in the area that they would consider going to is like clear on the other side of town, an hour's drive away from where they bought their house. Why is it that people today can't place a high value upon spiritual things and say the spiritual things are more important than the material things? It seems to me, if we absolutely believe that we are living in the season of Jesus' return, spiritual things ought to be number one on our list. Come on now. Don't just be quiet because I'm preaching truth. I'm telling you, it's the truth. You can either say amen or ouch, but it's the truth. You all know the results of what happened to a man who didn't put spiritual things at the top of his priority list. By the time the destruction came, not only his family was all screwed up, but Lot himself was all messed up. You say, how do you know that? God delivered him, and the Bible says he was a just, righteous man. Yep, the Bible calls him a just, righteous man. Do you know something this morning? If you are in Christ, if you've asked Christ into your life, the Bible calls you just, and the Bible calls you righteous. Hello. But I'm going to tell you something. That just, righteous man had his priorities all messed up. And even though God did deliver him, he lost his family. Hello. He was just. He was righteous. But he lost his family. They were all messed up. First of all, he was messed up. His value system was so screwed up, it's just unbelievable. When the angels came, and then the perverts came to his house and said, we want them. Turn them over to us. He says to them, here, I have two virgin daughters. Take them. Do whatever you want to them. What on earth is wrong with you, man? I'm just here to tell you, if I'm there, hey, I got two daughters, you will have to come through me to get any of them. I will fight you to the death. But he's like, no, take my daughters. His four daughters were totally messed up. The two that hadn't been married did get out alive, but later on, they ended up having sex with their father. What a messed up value system. And the other two that were married perished when God sent judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. They all died in the flames of that fire. His wife was all messed up. Her heart was for that city, even though the sin was there. Somebody says, well, maybe when he went there, he didn't realize how bad it was. I'm sorry. Can't do that. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. While he lived among them day after day, that righteous man was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds that he saw and heard. He knew. But he put material things ahead of spiritual things. And he paid the price. So you have one man, Noah, as you know, His whole family came into the safety of the ark. And you had another man, Lot, who lost his family. and you just shake your head and you go, what was he thinking? And then as a pastor, I find myself going, what are people thinking today? This is crazy. This is insane. I want to give you five facts real quick. It won't take me more than maybe a minute or two. Five facts. Fact number one, Jesus is coming back. Come on. Jesus is coming back. Fact number two, every sign indicates we are living in the season of his return. Fact number three, we have been told by Jesus himself to prepare. These are all facts. Fact number four, now is the time when destinies are being determined. Because the last fact is, when he comes, there will be no opportunity to prepare. It will be like a lightning bolt. So my question to you is this. If that lightning bolt occurred today, if his return happened today, would you be ready? And what about your family? Would they be ready? Are they prepared? Are they ready for the coming of the Lord? Let me tell you something. I'm ready. I'm ready. I know. I'm ready. One of the reasons I know I'm ready is I'm like, Lord, we could use a little help down here. I'm waiting for you. Lord, come quickly, Lord Jesus. The clouds are getting really, really, really dark. Now, I'm here to tell you, I'm going to say more about it tonight, but that's one of the ways I know I'm ready. And that makes me so excited because I just got to be honest with you. I don't like my world. I don't like my world at all. We'll talk more about that tonight. I don't like my world at all. This world holds nothing for me. And the thought that one of these days, bam, there's going to be like a bolt of lightning and the sound of a trumpet, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain are going to, I got the goosebumps. Hallelujah. We're going to be caught up in the Lord, in the air to meet the Lord, and we'll be forever with him. I'm like, oh boy, oh boy. Oh, man. Oh, my. We used to sing a song. There's so many of these old songs. We used to sing this, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Remember singing that song? That was in the hymn book somewhere. We don't use those anymore because Leon does a better job. But did you hear what I said about you, Leon? I had a revelation when I was down here during worship and praise that when you go to heaven someday, you're going to be leading worship around the throne there. But man, what a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. And if you're ready right now, your heart should be just going, yeah, oh, Jesus, I'm so ready for you to come. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a lot of people that are just and righteous. They've asked Christ into their heart. But like Lot, their priorities were all messed up. Spiritual things weren't where they needed to be in their life. I'm not God. I can't play God. But I have to believe this. Listen to me carefully. If you could live any way you wanted, all I got to do is, 20 years ago, I asked Jesus into my heart. Now I'm ready now because of that. I'm just and I'm righteous. If that's true, why did Jesus say, be careful how you live. Make preparation. Live ready. Seems to me he's telling us it's not enough to just be like Lot, just and righteous. There's going to be a lot of loss on that day and a lot of people going, oh my God, I made a terrible mistake. Now I'll tell you something else. And I'll close with this. You better believe that I'm telling you the truth. There's going to be the biggest church services that churches have ever seen right immediately the day after the rapture. There are going to be churches where all those people come and they're like, hey, you up there, we were trusting you. How come we're still here? How come you didn't tell us the truth? I don't want to be one of those pastors. And so this morning, I'm saying to you, do you need to make some changes? Are you ready? Are you ready? And is your family ready if that trumpet should sound today? Jesus, now I'm praying. Dear God, I'm praying. Lord, it's so difficult when we live that lifestyle that's so careless and our values and our priorities get so messed up. It's so difficult to turn that around and to change it. We know, Lord, that it can be done. And I'm just asking you right now, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to just convict in a sweet, gentle way any in this room. If they're not ready, Holy Spirit, just right now, just impress on their heart, you're not ready. You need to make some changes and give them the grace to just look in the mirror and say, you know what? We're going to change. We're going to do it God's way. We want to be ready. I'm praying that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Would you just take a moment to continue to remain with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Good preaching preaches for a response. Good preaching does not just disseminate information, it preaches for a response. I'm going to ask you, every person in the church house, to raise your hand one or two times. So either the first time or the second time, you'll raise your hand. How many are here today? And you'd say, Pastor Joel, I'm like your brother. I know I'm ready. I'm excited. I am ready to meet Jesus. He could come today before we have church tonight, and I would be so ready. And I'd so want to be going. People are already raising their hands. If that's you, raise your hand up right now. You know you're ready. You know you're ready. Keep them up. Keep them up. Yeah. Thank you. You may put your hands down. How many would say, Pastor Joel, I couldn't honestly raise my hand? Because I don't know that I'm ready. Or at least I'm not very excited about it. I'm not tuned into it. There are already people raising their hands. How many didn't raise your hand the first time and you'd raise your hand now? I want to be ready. Yes, 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 yes. Any others? Yes. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you so much for these eight or so that have said, I don't know whether I'm ready, but I want to be ready. Lord, help them to see today as we bring this service to a close how easy that is to be ready. We first of all must admit that we're a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of your glory. Second, we must believe that Jesus came and died on that cross for our sins. And third, we must confess that. We confess that we're a sinner and we confess that we believe. And your word says that if we believe in our heart that God has raised him on the dead and we confess Jesus to be Lord, we're saved. So, Lord, I thank you that a new stage of understanding and belief has come into these people's lives today. And they've come to know you in a personal way. And, Lord, if you give us the opportunity as a church, we'll do our best to disciple them into an ongoing relationship with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The few of you that raised your hand, when we have a benediction from the service, if instead of going that way, you'd come this way in eldership, I'm going to need your help up here to be ready to receive these people and just have a personal prayer with them. But I'm very excited that there were a number of people in this service who said, I need to get ready, and I'm receiving Jesus. Are you excited about that? Let's show our appreciation of this. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5. It says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor. And the two terms there, double honor in the Greek, does not mean you pat them on the back or you reserve a parking space for them or they sit in the front pew. That's not what that means at all. The word double means diplos. It's a twofold. The word honor is tino, and it means payment given to them. Especially those, listen to this, whose work is preaching and teaching. I like what the Message says. The Message says, the ones who work hard at preaching and teaching. I know my brother works hard at preaching and teaching. I know he's labored over this weekend for months to come with God's message. You can sense that. You appreciate that. And I ask you in an offering to show double honor. Please understand, we do not budget one dime in this church for Spiritual Emphasis weekends. It's a pay-as-we-go thing. So we don't come into the weekend and we have budgeted $3,000 for this weekend. We have budgeted nothing. And when the guests leave, we give them what the congregation gave. That's how important your gift is. Don and I have made out ours. And I ask you now, Lord, to use the generosity of this people to bless John and Linda Stocker. Let us fulfill this verse. He is an elder who directs the affairs of the church well, particularly with his preaching and his teaching. Help us to bless them today in Jesus' name. Would you all take an offering envelope from in front of you? On the right-hand side where it says, especially for, do what I have done. Just put his name. John Stocker would be fine. How much? Write the check out to Christian Celebration Center. I'd like to encourage everybody to be involved today, even our guests that are with us. You've received something, now respond. If you say, Pastor, I really want to bless John and Linda, but I need till after next payday, I get that. A lot of us live from paycheck to paycheck. Take the pledge card from in front of you right there. You can fill it out. Keep the reminder. Turn the large portion in. If it's easier for you to go online and do this afternoon, that's great too. We'll just take the giving in this offering, plus your pledges, plus your online giving, add it all up, and give them a check before they leave middle of this week. and I thank you in advance. Those of you who were here yesterday, oh my, did we have a great morning yesterday. 230 people being taught some of the greatest things you will ever be taught about your marriage. And I asked you to become today prepared to show appreciation. Ushers, please come forward. We have prayed. Please receive the gifts of the people. I want us to be ready to sing that old chorus, Leon, what a day that will be. In fact, let's sing it together right now, would you please?
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day,
glorious day that shall be. Please stand. By the hand and leads me to the promised land. Stop, stop, just a second. You see how personal that is? Now I understand that's for the whole world, but do you see how personal that is? See, I don't think somehow we're going to be ready and we're going to be ushered in. It will be with gazillions of other people, but it's going to be personal. When he takes me by the hand, when he takes you by the hand, says, come on home. Come on home. What about that back there? I'll take care of that back there. Because I am God of the world. And Jehovah is God of the world. Make no mistake about it. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day. Normally we do not have Sunday evening services. I told our congregation years ago that if we had a Sunday evening service, it wouldn't be a repeat of Sunday morning. It'd be worth your time to come out. Turn my brother's microphone on and tell us what God has laid on your heart for the 6 o'clock service tonight, please.
So, okay, this morning we're like, are you prepared? Are you ready? Tonight, the whole message will be, what does ready look like? That's the title of the message. What does ready look like? And you don't want to miss that. You'll be able to go out of here with a great assurance that you are ready, if indeed you are ready. And if you aren't ready, you'll know it. All right? I dare you to come out tonight.
Come out tonight and get refreshed and get this information. And then go home and watch the Lions beat the Broncos. You're over.
You know,
you're done preaching.
How many have ever heard the saying, what's good for the goose is good for the gander? Well, now, it seems to me that if I'm going to get stoned, if the Broncos don't beat the
That's
Lions.
That's correct. You are. Tomorrow night at sundown in the parking lot.
Seems to me what goes around comes around, that if the Broncos beat the Lions, y'all going to be needing a pastor. Can I come and try out for a position?
No. You are too old. This church needs a younger pastor, okay? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God grant unto you a knowing that you are ready. And you're going out and you're coming in and you're lying down and you're rising up. In your labor and in your leisure and your laughter and in your tears. Until someday, I think it's going to be real soon, we're going to come to stand before Jesus. Amen. Have a good day. See you tonight. 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock tonight.